I want to say, man, it feels good in the room. Anybody else kind of feel that? And yeah, I was just thinking about it over there, and man, it's just something about the Holy Spirit being in the room, and I just want to speak peace over everybody right now. Like, I feel that there may be a lot of people that have come in with tension and just kind of stuff going on in life. With the Holy Spirit being here, I just want to speak peace over us. That despite the situations and the circumstances and the struggles, man, the Holy Spirit is here, and just allow Him to rest on you. Allow Him to move in your hearts, in your spirits, in your minds, because He wants to meet us here today. And whatever you're going through, just know that He has not left you, that He is with you, and that He's going to bring you through. So, I don't know why I'm getting emotional already, but whatever. It's just me. I guess it's just me. But, you know, 'tis the season, right? That's what we've been going over the past couple weeks. 'Tis the season to share the gospel. 'Tis the season to make a difference in people's lives. 'Tis the season that people are ready to willingly listen to stories about Jesus and the message of Jesus. 'Tis the season to be fasting, right? That's what we're doing right now, is we've called our church to a church-wide fast. And I hope that throughout the week that you had the chance to think about what you wanted to fast, that you've come to the conclusion and that you have started that. So that's what I'm praying right now, because the spirit of fasting right now and coming together in unity, not just physically coming together in one service, but also spiritually coming together in unity. So I'm praying and hoping that this week, although there may have been challenges for some of you, I don't know if you guys got my journal entry from this week, just talking about the beginning of my fasting. Within the first day, I forgot myself and I broke my fast within the first half of the day. And I was really mad at myself, and I was really irritated. I was like, man, it's not even the first day. I haven't even made it halfway through the day. I'm already forgetting this stuff. And so I went from irritation at myself to that night, I'll be honest, I went home, and my irritability level was very high. And, you know, I found myself getting irritated with my boys very quickly, and my patience went out. I'm like, man, this is the first day of the fast, and I am already feeling the pressure of it. I'm already feeling things coming against me in the midst of this. So I pray that anybody in this room that's already feeling resistance to your fast and what you're going through, just keep pushing through. And I just quoted the scripture at the very end, talking about the idea that, you know, when we fast, we shouldn't have a grumbling face. We shouldn't be trying to show out that we're in the midst of a fast, but, you know, when we do that, we're earning our reward there, is that we're drawing attention to ourselves, when the real reward that we're seeking is to draw closer to Jesus, right? That's what we want as a church. That's what we want as a community, is to bring Jesus in. But speaking of fasting, you know, 'tis the season to eat, right? You know, this is the biggest part of the season where we're eating a lot of food. Are you guys with me? You know, we think back to Thanksgiving and we're like, man, that's a lot of food, and we keep eating it, right? Christmas is coming. There's going to be a lot of food that's going to be spread out. I'm sorry that I'm torturing anybody that's fasting food right now. That is not my intentions. I'd be praying that God brings you through this part of the message until we get to where we're going. But, you know, we see all of the food that's spread out on the counter. We see all the food that the family brings over. And we begin to indulge. We begin to eat. And we're like, man, I'm starting to get full. And then you have after the food's all out, you're like, man, I don't think I can eat anything else, but I'm wearing my belt today to kind of squeeze things in. And then the dessert comes out, you're like, unbutton the belt, unbutton the pants a little bit, make a little bit more room, and we begin to eat the dessert on top of that. But man, when we get to that point where we have ate until we are overly full, it doesn't feel good, right? You're like, man, I sincerely regret my life right now. I sincerely regret that pumpkin pie, that pecan pie, whatever that last thing that you ate. You're just like, I hate my life right now because I feel terrible. But, You know, it's something we tend to do around the holidays, that we eat to pass the capacity of being full. Which kind of leads me into where we're going this morning, because, you know, every now and then you have that last relative that comes in and brings in, like, that dessert after you're already full, and then you've already had dessert, and you're just like, why'd you have to bring that? I got no room left. I ain't got nothing left in here. So sometimes we got to make room, right? We got to figure out a way to make some room. But I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about the way that we can make room for Jesus in our lives. So let's jump into our passage for this morning. We're going to be starting off in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, he betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because what? There was no place for them in the inn. So many of you know that, or you have heard me share stories that I used to work in a hotel, right? So today what I'm going to do is going to be comparing all of us to a hotel. You guys okay with that? We're all hotels today. So we all have a certain amount of capacity within our lives, right? You could say that every single one of us has a certain amount of room that is inside of us. We have capacity, or we have occupancy for, or rooms for our family, right? We all have different family members. We all have the close people that are in our lives, and being with our family and truly spending time with them takes up room. But it's a good thing, right? It's good to be with our families, and I just want to say before I get into this, I'm not saying that any of these things are wrong. But we have to be able to look at our lives and realize everything that's taking up room. So I'm not saying get rid of your family. I'm not saying get rid of your children if you have children to make room. That is not what I'm saying this morning. But we also have room for friends. We need friends. That's something that we've talked about here as a church, is that what we need to do is draw closer to one another, to be in unity, to have community with one another, to love one another. Friendship is good, and God did not design any of us to be alone. So having friends is a good thing. We have room for work. We all have to work to make money, to take care of our family, to pay the bills, to do all of those things. We have to have room to work throughout the week. And of course, we need room for ourselves. Can I get a shout out from all the introverts in the room? Sorry, I know I'm asking you to step outside your comfort zones, but it's okay. Says the extrovert. But anyway, we all need to have that time for ourselves, you know, just to be able to pull away, to be able to just kind of get by ourselves, maybe recoup from a tough week or a hard day at work or whatever that you're going through. You just need to have that time to yourself. We also have room for church, that we make sure that on Sundays when the opportunity comes, whether it's watching online or being here, that we make room to be here at church, to have community with one another. So with all of these things, we can begin to look and say, wow, I got to spend time with family. I got to spend time with friends. I got to spend time at work. I got to spend time to myself. I have to make sure that I'm at church maybe once, twice a week, whatever that is. That's a lot. When we really begin to evaluate the time and everything that we put into that, that's a lot of stuff that we have to divide our lives into, right? And as we make room for all those things, we often don't leave room for Jesus. That we leave room for church, but throughout the week, we don't often leave room to be with Jesus. There's a big difference, and I'll say this is a challenge to all of us, that coming to church is not enough time for Jesus in your week. We have to be able to find room, to make room throughout the week, to be able to talk to him, to build that relationship. You know, some of that alone time that we have, you know, I'm just going to say that's some of the things that we can sacrifice or realize that, hey, that alone time, when we can spend that with Jesus, it's going to be a lot more fulfilling. But it can be really difficult because of the amount of stuff that's in our lives to really make time to pray, to make time to read your Bible, to make time to worship. But it's one of the most essential things that we need for our lives, is to make room for Jesus. So let me ask you this morning. What is taking up all the room in your life? What's taking up the room in our lives? As we begin to look and realize what is taking up the most space. So I'm going to give you just a moment to think through your life. What is the thing that is taking up the most time for you? And when we begin to think about that and really think about, man, is it really worth it that I'm allowing it to take up that much time? As we evaluate what is taking up the room, it can really give us a reality check. And we begin to think, man, I spend way too much time doing this. I spend way too much time wasting time. And we can really begin to see, man, wow, I spend a lot of time in this area of my life. Is it worth it? And allow that to be a reality check for yourself. What are the things that you put most priority on? What are the things that you make sure you emphasize, hey, I have time for this in my life? Because the things that we often spend the most time doing are the things that we put most priority on. Because it's important to us, it's something that fills us, it's something that we want to make time for. So what is it that you put the most priority on? When we need to get to a place and we need to begin to question ourselves, why don't we put that much priority on our relationship with Jesus? Why is it that we so often put Jesus on the back burner in our lives? And man, if I don't have time to do this, then I don't have time to spend with Jesus. Or I have to make sure that I have time for this, but I'm not going to fit in any time for Jesus this week. I'll be honest, I'm speaking to myself right now too. Like, it grieves my heart to even be talking about this and the idea that, man, there's so much time that I could be spending with Jesus that I'm just wasting away. And I think that all of us in this room, I want you guys to feel the weight of this. I want you, all of us, to feel the weight that, hey, we don't put enough priority of Jesus and are building our relationship with him. So, you know, just like the beginning, I talked about the idea that we eat so much food that it doesn't necessarily feel good for us. We kind of start to feel sick. But yet we do the same thing with our lives. We pack up so many things in our lives, and it's like it just doesn't feel good. That's why we always feel exhausted. That's why we always feel tired. That's why we always feel frustrated. That's why our patience is low, because we're filling up too much to where it hurts. And as I was beginning to think about this whole thing, does anybody remember when Dallas hosted the Super Bowl? You guys remember how crazy that week was? Like, Snowmageddon for sure. And at this time, I actually worked at a very high-profile hotel. And I remember there was all of this buildup. It's like, the Super Bowl is coming. Prepare yourself. And man, they were not ready for what was just about to happen. And that week, as it began to snow and the chaos began to ensue, people were coming in, not just people, but all of the hotels in the whole city of Dallas were full. And not only were they full with people that were just coming to the game, but I mean celebrity full. And it was crazy to just be walking down the street and begin to see celebrities just walking around or walking through the lobby, and you're seeing celebrities, but it's just crazy how busy that week had gone. The ability that we were supposed to be driving people around downtown to help them to get around to celebrate the Super Bowl being there that week while there was snow and ice on the ground. And it was just one of the most chaotic and busiest weeks of my life. And it was just a constant going to room, going to room, going to room, because we were completely full and booked out, and it was chaotic. And I can remember after the Super Bowl and people began to check out, and that checkout process was hard. It's like you would run up to the room, you'd load up 3 bell cards, come back down, load it into a car, oh, next room. And you would just begin to try to unload all of these rooms to get to a place where it was empty, and it was tiring. And that's the way that it can be as we begin to evaluate where our lives are. What are the things that are taking up room as we begin to look and say, hey, I can check this out. I can check this out. I can check this out. Maybe not this. Maybe this can stay a little bit longer. But it is a tiring process when we get to a place trying to look at our lives saying, what can I take out? What's not important? What's not a priority in my life? And as we begin to check these things out, it can feel a little bit chaotic. It can feel like there's a lot of resistance because we're getting rid of things that have become a normal part of our lives, something that's regular, something that's part of our routines. And when we get rid of that, it's frustrating. But ultimately, after that week ended and all of the people had checked out, there was peace. There was peace at the hotel. And it was just a calmness as the snow began to melt. Things got back to normal. And I just want to encourage us in the way that begin to check things out. And although the process may be very difficult, it may be unnerving, it may make you irritable, and all of those negative feelings, when you begin to check things out, it begins to settle a peace in your heart. And you can realize, hey, there's rooms available. There's always been rooms available. We just didn't recognize it. And Jesus has the ability to move into those rooms. So what can each of us check out or that we need to check out of our lives? And as I said, as we begin to evaluate our lives and the things in it, there are questions that we need to ask ourselves. Does each thing deserve the time that we put on it? The amount of time that you're putting on it, does that thing deserve that specific amount of time? Or are you wasting time with it? Or are you overemphasizing time with it? It's a viable question, right? The next one is, what of those are necessary? What of those things in your life that you're spending so much time on, what of those are absolutely necessary for your life? Because if it's not a necessity, if it's not something that has to be there, that's more of a chance to check it out. And what are the things that can be checked out? What of those things that are you're spending overtime with or that you're that don't necessarily need to be there, what of those can really be checked out of your life? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who is for who the joy that has been set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Someone that is willing to endure a cross and such a torture for us, don't you think that he deserves room? Don't you think that that deserves, because we know the salvation, we know what Jesus sacrificed for us, don't you think that that deserves room in our lives? But what's this verse saying before it even gets to that point in, of what Jesus has done for us? He's talking about the idea of casting off our weight, casting off sin, so that way we can run the race with endurance. We want to run the race of our relationship with Jesus Christ, to pursue Him with everything. But if we're carrying all of that busyness, if our hotel is full and there's no room for Him, it's going to be harder to run. Because you're so busy with all of those things that there is no time and there's no room. So let us begin to cast off the weight that is not necessary for our lives, so that way we can better run the endurance of the race. And this is one thing I want you guys to really think about. Are there things that you know that need to be checked out, but you keep allowing it to stay? I think there's areas of our lives that we often can recognize and say, I don't think this is necessary for my life. And you've known it for a long time, but for some reason, you just can't let it go. Maybe it's a past pain. Maybe it's a past struggle. Maybe it's some way that you were hurt as a child, or a situation that you've gone through. Maybe it's just a bad habit that you've had for a while. Maybe it's an addiction that you've been fighting and trying to go through. What are things that you know that need to be checked out, but you're still holding on to it? I pray that as you are holding on to those, that God gives you the strength and the ability to let go of those things, to allow it to check out and not come back. Because sometimes we're holding on to it because we can't let go and we can't do it by ourselves. And as we begin to make room for Jesus, that's going to give us more ability to be able to get those things out. Because He's going to be the one that gives us the strength to do so. So as I've been saying this whole time, we need to make room for Jesus. If we want to be closer to Jesus, we have to make time for Him. I think all of us in this room can say, I want to be closer to Jesus. I'm not satisfied with where I am in my relationship with Jesus. How many of you in this room would say that? I'll raise my hand. I'm not satisfied with where I am with Jesus. There's things that I need to check out of my life so that way I can make the time for Jesus. If we are desiring that, if we want to grow closer to Him, it's going to take effort, it's going to take time. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I think we can all remember a time in our lives where we've devoted time to Jesus. Maybe it was a camp experience, or maybe it was a retreat that you went on, or maybe something like that, and you just are like, you know, there's nothing else in my life right now. It's all Jesus this week. And man, when that week's over, you're just like, whoa, feeling good. But yet, it's so easy to creep back into that old life, into that old way, and not even allow Jesus for a moment. You know, this is one of the reasons that we're fasting. This is one of the reasons that we've called the church to a fast, because we want all of us to begin to connect with Jesus in a way that we haven't before. We want all of us to be able to make that room, to have that room for Jesus. And that's what the idea of the fast is that when you're starting to feel the tension, or you're starting to feel the hunger, or you're starting to feel the itch to go do what you're fasting, that should be a reminder, hey, I'm not going to go do that, but I'm going to spend time with Jesus. Or, hey, I'm starting to feel irritable because I'm not doing this thing, but instead of getting irritated with it, I'm going to spend time with Jesus. You know, it's interesting, like throughout the week, as I start to feel myself getting a little irritated, I'm just like, it's bow my head a little bit, and I just start to say a little prayer and begin to seek Jesus out. But it's interesting how it can begin to change you when you start to involve Jesus, even in the little small moments of your life. But But the challenge is this: let's make this fast just be the start of making a permanent residency for Jesus. You know, it's great that we are doing a fast. It's great that we are making time for Jesus within these 30 days of this fast. But I want to challenge you, at the end of the fast, don't allow that to be the end of the time that you spend with Jesus. Because we can learn and recognize, hey, I don't need all of this. This thing I'm fasting, I don't necessarily need it as much as I had it before. So instead of going back to full time and what I was doing with this, I'm going to take that time to spend with Jesus. Don't allow it to be a time where Jesus just comes and checks in for 30 days and then at the end of the month, he moves back out. Let's allow him to take a room and stay there. It takes intentionality and making priority for us to involve him. It's going to take intentionality, right? To make sure that we're putting him in, and it's going to make sure that we are putting a priority on him, because like I said earlier, the things that we have priority, the things that are important to us, are the things that we are going to make time for. And if Jesus is that important to us, we need to make sure that that's a priority. As I know this may be a tough message for all of us in the room, but I hope that this comes as an encouragement. I don't mean to be harping, because trust me, like I said, I'm speaking to myself in this. I recognize in my life that I don't spend the quality time that I need to. I know that we all feel that way. So let's do this together, right? This one's a hard one. They didn't know who they were turning away, but we do. When we look back at the story of Jesus and at the inn, and when Mary and Joseph walked up and were like, sorry, there's no room for you. I don't think they knew who they were turning away at that time. I don't think that they knew, hey, this baby that's about to be born is going to be the savior of everybody. That this baby is going to be the king of all. It is God in human form. That it is God's son. Because I think if they would have known that, maybe they would have figured out a way to make some room. And although they didn't make room for Jesus, not knowing who was about to enter the world, who was about to be there, we know who we're turning away. We know who we're not making room for in our lives. We recognize what he's done for us. We recognize the salvation, but yet we still turn him away. Just like many people who in the world that don't know Jesus, they're turning him away. Right? There's a lot of people in this world that don't know what they're saying no thank you to. They don't recognize the reality of who Jesus is for them, what he's done for them. And that should break our hearts. That there's people in this world that don't recognize what they're not making room for. They're not recognizing who they're turning away and what he wants to do for them and how much he loves them. But we know who he is and what he's done, and we still turn him away. I just remember right as I was writing this point, I was like, man, it was a point of grieving. Should be. We should be grieving at the idea that we continually turn Jesus away every day in the small opportunities that we have to spend with him. And I want to say this. This often isn't intentional, but it should reveal to us how much of a priority we put on him. I know that we don't consciously say, I don't want to spend time with Jesus. I don't want to pray today. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to worship. I don't want to. It's not intentional. We're not consciously waking up in the beginning of the day and saying, I don't want anything to do with Jesus today. That's what we do. And that shows, and it should show to us, that we're not putting a priority on our in our lives for Him. You know, busyness is a part of life for all of us, but we can't let that dictate our relationship with Christ. If we continue to allow the busyness of life to be the thing that dictates how much time we spend with Jesus and how close we get to Him, I think we're all probably done growing. So it's a matter of recognizing that busyness, beginning to push it aside, and no longer saying, this is what controls my life. Allow Jesus to come in and be the control in our lives. Bless you. So this is my final point. Let's stop pushing Jesus to the outside room and give Him the suite of our hearts. Now, it makes me, when I was thinking about that, it's like, you know, there's always like a guest house, right? We see these guest house and, you know, it's like, man, Jesus, I got this guest house just for you. It's perfect. It's got your own kitchen. You got your own bedroom. You got your own bathroom, shower. It's a perfect place for you to stay. But I'm going to be over here in my house. You know, everything's set up. It looks real pretty, decorated for you. But I'll just come over and visit you when it's convenient for me. I see you. You're just in my backyard. We're in close proximity. But I'm only going to come out there and visit you, come out to the guest house when it's a convenient time for me. We very rarely will ever invite Him to come into the house. You know, says this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. A lot of the times when that busyness of life, Jesus has been knocking for a long time. Jesus is looking in through the window. Hey, I see you eating in there. I would love to come in and join you. I want to spend time. I know you're going through something. I want to spend time with you. I know that thing that you're celebrating and you're having a good time. I'd love to be a part of it. Fans are knocking and we just ignore the door. He deserves more than that, right? If we recognize that Jesus died for us and gave everything for us, I think we can open the door. Stop relegating into the guest house and just going when it's convenient, when you're going through something and you need Him. That's not the only time that He's there. We should be living our lives in a way that our relationship with God is our top priority. Not just a sub-thought of our day. Jesus made us the top priority of His life when He willingly marched into Jerusalem. Knowing full well what was about to come, we were the ones that He was thinking of. We were His top priority, that He was willing to sacrifice His life. Jesus deserves that top priority spot in our lives. Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Question yourself, are you loving God that way? Are we loving God that way with our lives? You shall love Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. That is the greatest commandment, to serve God, and the first. I think we should follow it. recognize that, you know, we may figuratively be talking about the idea that we are the residency of God, but we are literally. The Holy Spirit resides in us, and we should be living that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God with your body." The Holy Spirit resides within us. So we are not just a guest house for the Holy Spirit, but he resides deep inside of us and dwells within us, and we should be living that way every day. Our Christian walk is not about making one choice, but a daily continual choice. I think this is easy to fall away when it gets to this point. And just the idea that when we hear or have that emotional experience with Jesus on the front end and we say yes to Jesus for the first time, we're saved, that's the only choice that we have to make. It's not true. Every day we have to continue to make that choice. To serve, to love, to acknowledge, to invite, to be a part, to be the whole of our lives. I want to invite the worship team back up. It is not just about having a verbal commitment to Christ, but a heart commitment. And just as I said, maybe that first moment where we received Jesus, that we said yes to Him, but did we ever allow Him to fully come into our hearts, to invade our lives, to really love Jesus? Because the Bible is very clear that it's not just about a verbal commitment. It says in Romans chapter 10, this is the final scripture for today. Verse 9 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and what? Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." It's not just about one or the other. There has to be both. That we confess with our mouth the love that we have for Jesus, but Jesus knows where our hearts really are. We can say every day that, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm strong in my walk with Jesus, but He really knows where our heart is and where we stand. He knows what rooms that are open to Him. He knows how much time we spend with Him. He knows where we really are, and we can't hide it. So are we going to continue to be like the inn and say, "There is no room for you, Jesus"? Or are we going to say, "Hey, there is occupancy. We are making sure that there's room for you. There is one reserved specifically for you that you are welcome to be a part of every day"? Have you allowed Him to make that reservation to stay in that room as long as He wants to? Because He's knocking, saying, "Hey, I want to make a reservation. I want a reservation for your heart, and I'm going to stay here indefinitely. You okay with that?" The takeaways I have for today: let us not continue to live our lives in such a way where there is no room for Him. Let's make that commitment together that we're going to stop living our lives in a way that there is no room for Him. 2, decide something permanent that you can get rid of or cut down in the time to make spending time with Jesus a regular part of your life. Don't allow this fast to just be the only time that you get things out of your life to make time for Him. Let's make it a permanent thing. As we start cutting stuff out in our lives, things can be difficult, but continue to push through because there's peace on the other side. That when we recognize who Jesus is and have Him indwelling within our lives, we can know that even when we're going through things in life, there is the peace of Jesus. 4, our relationship with Christ should not be based on a one-time decision. And last, we need to make room for Jesus to be a permanent resident in our hearts and in our lives. I hope this is a challenge for all of us to really begin to evaluate where our lives are, where we are really and truly are in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when we begin to evaluate and know where we are, we know which steps to take next. So this morning was about pointing to the idea of what are your next steps? What can you do from this point to begin to move forward? Because if you don't even recognize the steps, you're never going to be able to take them. You know, I just want to throw it out there. There's a couple different things that are coming up here over this week, next week. You know, we talked about on the 18th of this month, you know, I want us all to come out and have fun with the Christmas party and really begin to enjoy it. But if you are sacrificing going out to evangelize with us and Tim Schwartz on that 18th to come to the Christmas party, I would rather have you come to the evangelism. Sorry, ladies. I'm not trying to tear it down. I just want us to have a little bit more of a priority in going out there and spreading Jesus. So I want to, if you have any questions, please talk to Tim afterwards. Let him share the experience and how evangelism and speaking to Jesus has changed his life. Jim Rose, I know, has gone out with him multiple times. He's another good person to talk to and ask how it's changed his life. Bruce has shared with me how much his life has changed since he's gone out there to be with the homeless and spend time with them, and just how much it's impacted his life, not just seeing the impact in the lives of the homeless that he spends time with, but how much it's changed his life. Right, Bruce? So there's opportunities to get him some winter clothes, and I would hope that maybe he'll say, hey, this is when I'm going to take these things out, and you can go out with him and begin to help him hand out the stuff. Kelly Morgan, I didn't see her this morning, but she's doing the safe haven thing. Oh, there she is. But this is the last week. The 19th is when we're going to stop the donations for the safe haven, I believe. The 19th is the last day, so this is the last week. Get involved. We have the angel tree that's out here. We want to support the families in the 2115 apartments that are just right around the corner from here. The tags are out there. The tree is ready. There are people that need our help. Let us be a gift to this community. Let us show Jesus through our actions. Let us make time for him this week. Let us make time to love people with Jesus. So I want to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing the song, Make Room. And I want you guys to really begin to listen to the words and sing it if you mean it. To focus and meditate on every word that you're saying and allow it to be a promise that you're making, not just another song that you sing. So Father God, I thank you that you are a God that makes time for us each and every day, that when we spend our time in prayer, you're waiting. I can see you waiting in anticipation saying, all right, let's talk today. Or when we get into your words, like, man, this is what I want to say to you today. Lord, that we would put a priority and an excitement on who you are in our lives. And God, that as we begin to check things out that are not necessary and really begin to have focus and put time in your life, Lord, that we would begin to see the fruit of that. We would grow far beyond where we've ever been in our relationship with you. God, that we would draw close to you and recognize you in the good moments and the bad moments of our lives. Lord, that we invite you to celebrate with us. We invite you to mourn with us and just to be with us. God, that we stop relegating you to the guest house, and we give you a room in the house. And we just sit and enjoy every moment that we have with you. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for coming. And Lord, I pray that we would make room for you. In Jesus' name, amen.